All right. Wish to extend greetings to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your precious gifts. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, understanding. Help us be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Verse 23. I want to talk a little about this morning about the mystery of God. I think that's probably more than anything is that the mystery of God, and just sometimes allowing things and allowing God to be bigger than we are. We human beings want to have everything figured out. We want to understand things. We want to know things. We want to be able to just point to something that we can rely on as our authority, or as something we can trust in. And I think that's what it comes down to, is trust. And what we have our faith built upon. And that desire to have our faith secured in something that is tangible, that we can explain, or that we can know, or that we can understand, is oftentimes the very thing that keeps us from trusting the Lord. God is too big for a box. But we try to put God in a box so that we can understand Him, or we can have Him figured out, or we can, so that we can trust in that box that we try to put Him in, instead of just trusting the Lord. That faith in the Lord is probably one of the hardest things that human beings can do, because we can't see Him. We can't understand Him. We can't explain Him. And so our desire is to find this rest or this comfort in something that's unexplainable. And so just trying to do that, we try to fit Him into a box that we can understand and we can explain. And we try to find a rest there and try to find our peace there. But that's not where true rest and true peace comes from. Verse 23 in chapter 21 of Matthew says, "When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" This question that these people ask him, they realized that for some reason, in one place it says, this man speaks with authority. They had acknowledged that. They said, this man speaks with authority. But they could not understand where this authority came from. And so here they ask him, who gave you this authority? And in their minds, they were thinking, what group of men or what group of people has been assembled to accredit you or to give you this authority. Who gave you this authority? Where did it come from? This question is what they were trying to figure out. They were trying to put in a box. They were trying to find the riddle. They were trying to answer the riddle. They were trying to come up with the answer that would satisfy their human minds about where this authority came from. They were looking for answers. Instead of going to the source, instead of just trusting and having faith in God like Jesus did, and that authority came through that. It didn't come through having the answers. Mankind is trying to find a way that they can give authority to other people. If we look in the world today, people, the education system, that education system is based on a few men or a few people setting themselves up as a board or a group of people that will give authority to someone after they reach their requirements. The Board of Education sets up, if you'll do this class, take this many hours, put this much effort in, and pass all of these grades, we will give you the authority that you have passed, let's say, high school or college, whatever it is, that if you meet the requirements that we put out, we will now deem you worthy of having the title of being educated. And we see and we know that often this is so vain and actually many times works against someone actually learning something. They learn how to be educated and they get puffed up in their education and in their what they think they've known, and they knowledge and wisdom actually eludes them. It's actually out there, they don't even know they're missing it because some group of men has given them an accreditation of having wisdom or having knowledge. They're looking for this knowledge and wisdom, and they miss it completely by seeking approval or an authority from someone else. And that's what these people were doing. They came and asked Jesus. It was strange to them. Where do you get your knowledge? Where do you get the authority that you have? And Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. And then he said, the baptism of John, was it from what source? From heaven or from men? See, Jesus didn't answer their question. He didn't answer their question because they were not worthy of an answer of it. He asked them another question and said, I'll tell you if you can tell me where was John the Baptist, where did he get his authority from? Was it from heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why do you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. And Jesus, and answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. They're not going to find out. The first reason is they began to reason within themselves. And that was the problem. They were looking for the answer within themselves. And as they began to do this, they began to say, well, wait a minute. If we say that it's from heaven, He'll say, well, why didn't you obey Him? The question that they were asking, they didn't want the answer. They weren't looking for truth in the first place. They were looking for authority. They were looking for why or where it came from, because they wanted the authority. Not because they were looking for truth. Because when you look for truth, the reasons do not matter. What it's going to cost me doesn't matter. What I might have to explain doesn't matter. They want truth. And that's why the majority of people will never find it. The people that are looking for the answers will never find it because they really don't want it. They just want the gift or the power that comes with it. They don't want the truth. And that's what Jesus came to bring. They began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, He will say to us, then why do you not believe Him? They began to realize that if He tells us the wrong answer, we're going to be wrong. And they didn't want to be wrong. This authority, where does it come from? Where does His authority come? And that was their question. And that is a question that people are still asking today. Where does the authority come from for what you believe? Or for what the way you live? Where do you get your authority? And people are looking for that answer and that question. There's people that say they have this authority. They say that, well, God has given us this authority, and it's been passed down from generation to generation to generation, from person to person, and it's all in this institution. And we have that authority because it's been handed down to us. And there's people that believe that. There's people that are trusting in that. That they are right because they can trace their authority all the way back to Jesus. Then there's other people that say, well, we have the Bible. And that's our authority. So we can believe and know that we're right because we have the Bible. And because we've been able to figure it all out and understand it. And so we believe we have the authority. But both of these things are missing the authority that Jesus was talking about. They knew that He had something. They knew that He had something. But they didn't know where it came from. And they were trying to find the place, the source of this. And that's what people are still trying to do. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 23. Verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. I want to just stop and explain there just a little bit. The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the seat of Moses. They have declared that they are the authority. There's a group of people that have declared that they are the authority. They are the ones to be listened to because they are sitting in the very seat of Moses. Back in this time, Moses, the Judaic religion, was what reigned. And there was people in power there that could trace their lineage all the way back to Moses. And they were claiming that they were the ones who had the authority to be in charge, to have authority over other people. They believed that they had the keys to heaven and earth, heaven and hell. They believed that they actually had God's ear and God's mind, and they could determine who went to heaven and who didn't, because they were sitting in the very seat of Moses. That sounds pretty impressive. They were the scribes. They were the Pharisees. They were the ones that understood the Bible. They were the ones that had God all figured out. And they were in direct lineage with Abraham and Isaac and all of those in Moses and all through history. They had maintained the church at that time. They had the authority. They were sitting in His seat. That's what it means. They were in His place. They were actually in the place of Moses. That was their claim. And I want you to look what Jesus said. The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Then He says, therefore all that they tell you do and observe. Therefore, all that they tell you to what to do, observe. Now, there's groups today that are saying, they're not saying we're in the seat of Moses today. No one would listen to them. No one would pay any attention to them. If I was to come and say, I'm sitting in Moses' seat. I'm upholding all the Judaic customs, and I have the authority of the Judaic church. I'm the leader of the Jewish people because I've maintained all that Moses said. No one would listen to you today because we've got the Bible and we can see what Jesus said about these people, that they were false, that they were wrong. But what if someone came today and said, I'm sitting in the seat of Christ. I am sitting in the very seat of Christ. I'm maintaining all of the traditions that have been maintained throughout all history. I have all the lineage behind me, right back to Peter, in all the authority that now I am the one that determines what's right and wrong. And I am the one that determines who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Now I am the one sitting in the seat of Christ. I'm in the place of Christ in this earth. Jesus ain't here. I am. And I'm in His place. That's what they were saying about Moses. And that's what people are saying today about Jesus. What difference does it make if I say I'm sitting in the seat of Moses or I'm sitting in the seat of Jesus if I'm saying the exact same thing that I'm the one in authority? Is there any difference at all just because I've changed a title? Is there any difference? Does God now, is He say, oh yeah, I wouldn't accept Moses, the one that was sitting in Moses' seat, but now I'm going to accept the one sitting in Christ's seat? No, they're both usurpers. They're both thieves. And they're both robbers. And they're both against God. Just like the Pharisees were, the people today that are saying that they're in the seat of Christ, saying that they are the authority that must be obeyed for whatever reason, are doing the exact same thing as the Pharisees did. When we read the Bible, for some reason, today, we cannot see that the Pharisees are alive and well and just as strong today as they've ever been. But because we call them the church, or we call them the Pope, or we call them the bishops, or the cardinals, or we call them some other lofty name, we think that they're something else than what they are. But God still sees them just exactly the same as He saw the Pharisees. Someone just seating themselves in the seat where Christ belongs. The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. I've heard people today, I've heard churches, I've heard leaders of churches say, use verse 3, it says, therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. All that I tell you, you are supposed to do, because I'm sitting in the seat of Christ. I've heard people say this. We might not be doing everything that's right. We might not be doing what we're supposed to be doing, but because I'm sitting in this seat of power, you have to listen to whatever I say. I've heard people say that, and you have too. I've heard Amish say that. I've heard Mennonites say that. Any church that is declaring to you that they are sitting in the seat of this power, and that because they are meeting together and because they have made an agreement together, they now have God's authority on them. And that if you don't listen to them, they have the power to exclude you from heaven and send you to hell if you don't listen to them. That is exactly what the Pharisees were doing that Jesus was talking about right here. They are alive and well today. Right now. And they are influencing this power. They are putting this pressure and this power on people. And they miss the whole thing. I thought this morning of Dirk Williams. You know, in the community, I'm sure that we know the story of Dirk Williams. He was a man that had decided to follow Jesus. He had found the teachings of Jesus and he began to put them all into practice. And he tried to follow Jesus. And he got at odds with the authority, those that sat in Moses' seat. And they condemned him to death because he had been rebaptized, because he had been baptized and decided to follow Jesus. They condemned him to death. And we know the story about how one day they saw him, the thief catcher. The thief catcher was the policeman. He had the fastest legs in town. They picked the fastest runner because he was the one that could catch the thief that was running away. And so they picked the best one, and And they saw Dirks Williams in town, and the thief catcher saw him. They alerted the thief catcher, and he took off after him. And he began running, and he was a fast runner. And so he was beginning to catch up to Dirk Williams. And Dirk Williams took out across the creek, and all the authorities were behind him. And he took off across the creek, and as he was running across the creek was cracking, and there was frozen ice. It was ice. And he was, as he was running across it, the thief catcher came running after him, and the ice broke and fell through. And here the man was drowning. Here, Dirk Williams, he had the opportunity. He had, I can get away now. I'm free. Because the thief catcher is going to drown here. So I am free. But Dirk Williams thought, this is a human being. I can't let him die. I can't let him drown. So he turned around and he pulled the man out of the ice cold water. He pulled the man out of the ice cold water and he built a fire for him to heat him up so he could warm up so he wouldn't catch a cold or pneumonia and die. And so he prepared something for him. And the authorities on the other side of the creek, after he got warmed up, the authorities on the other side said, catch him! Right now you can catch him! You can get him! And the man said, this is a good man. The thief catcher said, this is a good man. He just saved my life. I was going to die. And he stopped and saved my life. And the authorities said, get him. We have the authority. Remember the oath that you swore to uphold the law. And this man yielded to the authority that was in power, grabbed him, took him back, and they killed him. They killed him. The good man. And I thought about this morning. How many times have we been around people that we've worked with them? We've walked with them. And they've appreciated the way we live. But yet, when the authority says we cannot accept them, when the authority says we cannot accept them, good people that live just like we do will lay down that compassion that Dirk Williams have and take up the authority, and they yield to the authority instead of following the Lord. We've been in Mennonite and Amish and plain churches that have the exact same spirit that the thief catcher had. We've been in situations where we've had to do what's right. Where we've had to choose to do what's right. And people we love and work with every day have to make a decision. Am I going to catch this man and turn him over to the authorities? Or am I going to let him go? My question is, what difference is there? If you would have been the one running from the thief catcher, some of these people that you love that are nice, kind people would grab you and take you to the authority. Just like the thief catcher did. Turning their back on all that's right and good and obeying this authority instead of doing what's right. There's no difference. None. today we're not burned at the stake, but we can be excommunicated and cut off from God in their mind and in their eyes because of this same authority. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away with his disciples, came up to point out, wrong place. Chapter 23. The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Now, these people have seated themselves in the chair of Moses, and they act out the chair of Moses. They act out the chair of Christ. They claim that they have the authority. But then listen to what Jesus said. Therefore, all that they tell you do, do and observe, but do not according to their deeds. What does that mean? Does that mean they have all the power, even though they're wrong, that we're still supposed to listen to them? No. No. The things that they have right, they're setting in the seat of authority. The things that they have that maintain that are right, do and observe because they're right. That doesn't mean you're supposed to listen to every single thing they say just because they've agreed on it. Never. That's yielding to their authority instead of God's authority. But the things that they're teaching you that are right, observe and do. The good things that they've maintained, do them. Obey them on the right things. They've seated themselves in the seat of Moses. Therefore, all that they say and do in that seat that are representing that place. If someone comes to you in the name of Christ and they're telling you the teachings of Christ, obey them and do them. Because that's what he's teaching. They're in that place. But when they step out of that place, they're not in that place any longer. They're teaching you to yield to their authority. And that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching you to maintain those things that are right. Do those things that are right. He's not giving them a stamp of approval, saying just do whatever they tell you to do. Someone in that place that is trying to convince you to do what's something they want you to do, and they use this verse, has to go along with the rest of the whole chapter of what he says about them. They can't just pick this out and say, you have to listen to me because Jesus said so, without incurring all of the wrath of the curses of the rest of this chapter on them. That's what they're doing. They're invoking God's curse upon themselves when they take this place. How many times have we told someone, well, but you're not doing everything Jesus taught? And they say, well, I understand that. We realize that. But the Bible says you still have to do whatever I say because I am in this position and I am in this place. They have just brought down the curses of Matthew chapter 24 on their own head. Verse 13, it says, woe, the beginning of woes, it says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, woe to you people that are saying these things, putting your authority on these things and not doing them. Using this as a means of authority and power, but you're not doing them. Woe unto you, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, because you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive the greater damnation. And on and on and on. Jesus saying woe is not, listen to these people. That's not what He's saying. Whatever they tell you, do and observe, but do not according to their deeds. For they say things and they do not do them. Do not do what their deeds are about. Their deeds are about authority and about power. Do not do them. Live out the life of Christ is all that He's saying here. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogue, and respectful greetings of the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. Do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. They love these titles of power. They love these titles of power. But they don't have the authority that comes from God. This is what this is all talking about here. It's talking about people that are looking for this authority and want to exalt this authority and impose this authority upon other people so that they demand these titles because they are sitting in this seat. They put themselves in this seat. Doesn't mean you don't have people that are leaders. The whole Bible talks about, the children have been talking about, to respect and honor your parents. And all through the Bible it talks about honoring those that have gone on before and those who have been through things before that you can learn from them. Leaders that are real. Not just one that is exalting himself and putting his title and power and pressure on you. It's not what he's talking about at all. He gives us examples of people to follow, people to listen to, and people to respect, and people to learn from. We've all learned from someone that's gone ahead of us. People go both directions here. Well, we aren't supposed to have any leaders. We're just not going to have a leader. We're going to reject anybody that's a leader. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying reject those that have this kind of same spirit, this same attitude that the Pharisees had. They're using these titles to exalt themselves, to get power over other people. We don't have to understand all of this. We don't have to have God figured out to trust Him. The very essence of trusting Him is realizing that He is bigger than we are. We don't have to have some structured authority to know that we're right. We don't have to have God put in a box to know that we're where we're supposed to be. we trust God, we walk in the light and follow Him. And that takes faith. Trying to figure all this out, trying to put God in a box, is against faith. It works against faith. It just promotes. You'll find something like this, and you'll serve something like this. That's the very fruit of faithlessness, is to be a servant. The very desire to pursue after these things for their own sake, for their own safety, for their own sake, closes the door to what's real. It's all kinds of areas. My challenge is to let God be bigger than you are. If you've got God figured out, if you've got it all figured out, you're bigger than God. You're bigger than your God because you can figure Him out. And that isn't a very big God if you can figure Him out. If you can understand it all. If you can say, right there's my authority. You know what your authority is, and that's all it is. God is big. We can't understand. It's not in us. God didn't put it in us to understand Him completely. And the more we think we know it, the less we do. Whenever we can say a statement about God that limits Him in any way, we've just limited the God we serve. We've just defined the God we serve, and it's not the God of all things, the God of the universe. Just this morning, we think about so many things of how big God is. The verse that Matthew talks, or that in Matthew that Jesus said, take no thought for what you eat or drink. And He talked about the sparrows and the lilies of the field. He said, don't I take care of them? We think big. And God is thinking of so many little small things. And that just shows how much bigger He is than we are. We're worried about all these different things. And He's given us examples. Right out here, the flowers that are blooming. He's taking care of them. Won't He take care of you? The birds that are flying around all over. He's taking care of them. Won't He take care of you? And we're worried about some powerful authority trying to figure that all out. Whenever the very simple essence of faith is all around us. Look what He's done. Look how He's just taken care of all these little simple things. Why can't I just trust Him? Why do I have to figure Him out? Why do I have to try to explain all of this? Why don't I just trust Him? He always resorts back to, said, you want to be a leader. This verse, He said, your leader will be your servant. He always goes back. You want to be your leader. Your leader's going to be like a little child. You want to understand the greatness? Look at the smallness. We can't explain it all, but we can trust. We can trust. Worrying, fretting, concerned about all these things is not faith. It's not trust. we could just really understand. I don't have to have it all figured out, but I can trust one who does and leave it with Him. And I'll just act, not worrying about authority, but just do what's right. Dirk Williams, sure, he wanted to run, but he thought, I can't do that. I can't do that. I've got to go back and save this man. So he just did it. Just a simple thing. And authority comes along and has him condemned. I'm not too interested in that kind of authority. I'm not going to trust that kind of authority. Look at the fruit of things. Is it faith or is it authority? Is it a big God or one that just appears big because I can make Him look scary? He's bigger than that. Much bigger than that. May the Lord add His blessings. Lord, thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You, Lord, for the mysteries. Lord, help us stand in awe of them instead of scowling at them, Father, knowing that we have it all figured out. Again, we just thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bye.